trust, and obey. What is one of the big reasons why people don't obey? I'm hearing some good answers, and they're good, and they're right. They're right. I want to follow up with with this. Remember when Moses, the Lord told Moses what he wanted him to do. Remember that? So Moses proceeded to do exactly what God told him to do. It was God himself who commanded it. He told Moses, this is what you need to do. Moses went and did what God told him to do. And that was to tell Pharaoh, let my children go. Isn't that enough? I mean, God said it. It's right. It was his will. Did they prepare to leave Egypt right then?
No.
Why not? God said it. It was God's will. Why didn't they obey? Why didn't Pharaoh obey? You're getting there. Listen to what Pharaoh said. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Pharaoh rejected the authority of God. Pharaoh thought he was God. And he wasn't going to do what anybody else said because he's God. Do you know there's a lot of people today who by their actions are saying, I am my own God. I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't tell me what to do. Don't we hear that a lot in the world? Don't we see that a lot in the world today? They reject the authority of God. You know, there's folks who label themselves as atheists. They've decided they don't believe God. They don't believe in God. I like what I read one time that, you know, atheism is temporary. When the heavens split wide open, and when Christ comes in all of his glory, and when time shall be no more, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord,
amen,
to the glory of God the Father. It's coming. You see, God's just not some king that's upon the throne, and he's a good king, and he loves us, and he's going to do whatever he can while he can for whoever he can. He's not that way. He's outside of time. He's outside of his creation. His glory is above the heavens, and what his word says is right, and that's what we ought to do. Because he's the one who knows all, sees all. He loves us. He gave him his very son to save us from our sins. And he's told us the right way to go for joy and peace. And if you were listening to Brother Kenneth this morning, you understand that obeying him, trusting and obeying him, is the best path we can follow for joy and peace and happiness in this world. If you think you've got a better way, you're going to find out someday if God's gracious to you and merciful to you, you're going to find someday that you're not, you didn't know nearly half of what you needed to know. But God has all the answers for us. In His mercy and in His grace and by His love, He's laid out the path for us to follow to find the most joy and peace in life. And so obeying oftentimes is a problem of rejecting authority. And Jesus spent a lot of time in the New Testament pointing that out. And I want to read, first of all, I will give you this for a foundation. And then I'm going to go to the New Testament where Jesus made reference to this and how that it shows us clearly that that was the issue with the Pharisees. They rejected the authority of God. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And since they rejected Him as the Messiah, they rejected His authority over them. They thought they were in charge. All right, and this was no small matter. Okay? So, first of all, in Isaiah 28, I won't take time reading a lot of this. I just want to get this foundational verse. But Isaiah was prophesying to God's people in a time where they had turned away from God. They were trusting in themselves. Now, we heard this morning already that we're not to trust in ourselves. All right? All right, but they were trusting in themselves. They made their agreements with Egypt and the nations around about them. They made their covenants with them so that if they got into trouble, that those folks would come help them. And if they got into trouble, they'd go help them. You know, God commanded His people not to do that. Don't go down to Egypt for help. Egypt in the scriptures is the world, is symbolic of the world and worldliness. And if we think that we've got to go to Egypt for our help in this world, we're in trouble already. All right? So in Isaiah 28, all right, I've already laid the foundation for you. So verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. That's a beginning, isn't it? That's where you start. That's where you're going to, what's going to support the weight, all right? For a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. This passage is referred to in Matthew 21. It's referred to in Acts 4:11. It's referred to in Ephesians 2:20, I believe it is, 2:20, 21, something along there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and Romans 9:33. There's several places where this passage, I may have missed a few, but there's several places where this passage is referenced in the New Testament. And where Isaiah says, our translator said, he that believeth shall not make haste. All right? That is, they're not flee instead of taking a stand. It means other places when you encounter this, like in Romans and 1 Peter chapter 2 and so forth, sometimes it says, shall not be confounded. You know, the easiest way to get confounded in this world is to reject God. Reject His word. And you're going to add confusion to your life. You're going to be confounded when you're trying to make decisions that are weighty decisions and you're not basing it upon the sure foundation of God's word. And bless your hearts, we find in the fulfillment of that, God's word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is a clear prophecy of Jesus the Messiah, who would come into this world, who would be the Word of God that would be made flesh and dwell among us and would perfectly do the will of the Father. All right, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste, but will trust and depend upon the Lord. All right, I'm adding that to it. All right, I'm going to go to Matthew 21. And for the balance, much of the time this morning, I may be reading more than I usually like to read, but I want to notice how Jesus took this passage and showed those Pharisees clearly that the problem was they were rejecting his authority over them. And you know what? They understood it. They got it. I won't take time to read Mark's account of this, but Mark, when Mark says it, he says, and they knew. They knew that he referred to them. So let's look at how Jesus, now I can't teach a lesson better than Jesus did. Not possible. So I want to go to the lesson in Matthew 21 where Jesus is going to give some parables. He's going to give some teaching here, and then he's going to bring them to this passage I just read to you out of Isaiah 28. And he's going to clearly show them, and as I've already said, they were convinced, they understood that he referred to them. And then I want to, in closing, I want to see how Jesus wraps this up, because it's a lasting message for us each day. If we reject the authority of God over our lives and try to go our own way, then bless your hearts, it's not going to do well for us. Okay? So rejecting authority, that's a big problem in our culture today, isn't it? Rejecting authority. Sometimes children reject the authority of parents. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6 and 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now that's enough, isn't it? If we accept the authority of God's word, if we accept the authority of God over us, then when he says this is right, that settles it. That's what we need to do. And if those, and it says obey your parents in the Lord, all right? So when those parents are acting godly and they're doing what the Lord would be pleased for them to do, and they're doing what's right for their children, then children have that responsibility based upon the authority of the Word of God to obey their parents. Anything short of that is rebellion. Anything short of that is rejecting authority that God has placed for our good. And the sooner we learn that lesson, the more joy and peace we're going to find in life. Isn't that right? Okay. We all had to learn it, didn't we? You know, we all got some paddlings. We all got some other types of discipline because we didn't learn that lesson right away. Okay? So anyway, Matthew 21. Let's see. Where do we want to start? Let's start in verse 23. Matthew 21, verse 23. And when he, that is Jesus, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Can you answer those two questions? By what authority do you do these things? And who gave thee this authority? You know, kings can pretty much do what kings want to do. But oftentimes, and bosses and officers, and whether it's in a corporation or whether it's in the military or whatever, you have delegated authority. And you can exercise that authority over those who are under you. And so these Pharisees wanted to know, by what authority are you acting? You know, they were accustomed to having to be mindful of Rome, and they could only do certain things, but sometimes if things got out of hand, they'd have to answer to Rome for the actions of their people. So they wanted to know, what authority? And who gave you that authority? Well, we can answer that, can't we? Because we can first of all say the Father gave it in that authority, because that's the way he expressed it many times. But bless your hearts, he's God. And he's perfect. He knows everything that's right, and he did everything that was right. Okay? They didn't understand that. And even when they saw evidence of it, they rejected it. Okay? All right, so he goes on. By what authority? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said to them, I will ask you, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. Well, that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Right? The baptism of John. Whence was it? From heaven or of men? The baptism of John. Remember when you read the early part of the accounts of the gospel, John was baptizing. And it says all men came unto it. Now we understand that's not an all-inclusive all. Okay, but there were many who came to John's baptism, confessing their sins. John's baptism. By whose authority was it? God or men? What's the answer to that? It was of God. It was clearly of God. Well, what does that mean then? If it's of God, you better do it. Especially if you're claiming to believe in God and to be his people. See where Jesus is going with this? The baptism of John, is it of God or of men? Listen to I'll just read. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, well, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. Well, they've got a dilemma here, don't they? They know what he's going to say if they say if it's from heaven. But they know they've got a problem if they say it's of men. That right there is a clue. See, they didn't see it as a problem that they were rejecting God. But they saw it as a problem if they rejected men. You see where their level of thinking is? They were looking out for themselves. They were not walking in the fear of God. They were not making their decisions in the fear of God. They were looking to their own little world and doing what they wanted to do. They were playing God. So here's what they answered. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. They knew both sides of the matter. It wasn't a matter of they cannot tell. They didn't want to tell. They didn't want to admit where their decision making rest it. All right? Then Jesus said, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Authority. This is the heart of the matter. Authority. Do you know why people object to the doctrine of election? Because they do not think of God as sovereign. They don't want to submit to the authority of God. They want the choice themselves. They want to be God. What it boils down to. All right? So, Jesus said, neither tell I you then by what authority I do these things. But then he begins to teach. He didn't just cut them off there. He gives them some lessons, some teaching. Okay? You know why I believe that he did this? Because he had some people among those Pharisees. There were some of his children there. They needed to hear this. All right? So he says, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work in my vineyard. Go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. Woo. I can just see the hair bristling on some of your necks. I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. In other words, the father told him to do something. He said, I won't do it. But then he felt differently later. Maybe he felt condemned over it. Maybe he felt the Spirit condemning him for something, for that. And so he went and did later his father's will. All right? And he came to the second son. He came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go. I'll do it. I'm embellishing a little bit here. I go. I go, sir. And he went not. He said he was going to. Oh, and it even made it sound real good. I'll go, sir. It sounded like he was rendering obedience. But it was only words. Because he didn't follow through with actions. Okay, so you've got one who at first he said, I will not. But then he repented and he did the Father's will. And you've got one said, oh, yes, sir, I'll do it. And never did. That's two very different situations, isn't it? It's two very different outcomes. There's two situations here. One where, although it started out bad, it ended up with some repentance and reason to have peace. But the other one gave some words that the father wanted to hear, but never did anything according to what his will was that he told him. Okay? Then Jesus said, whether of them twain, and which of the two, whether of them twain did the will of his father? Which one? Can you answer that question? Which one did the will of his father? I've been real plain with this. We know that the one that did the will of the Father was the one that at first he said, I will not. What made the difference? He repented. And then he did the will of the Father. Do you know what stands between the condition a lot of people are in right now and them finding peace and joy and happiness in this life? Repentance. If the Spirit of God is working in them and they realize that they've done wrong, a lot of people don't want to admit that they've done wrong. A lot of people don't see the authority of the church over their life to the point that they need to come and apologize to the church for something they have done. They just want to brush it under the rug. Sweep it under the rug. Brush it aside. Let's forget about it. Let's have a new start. Well, you can do that. But you won't find the joy and the peace that you would if you followed God's way. Plain and simple. Trust and obey. Do it God's way. All right? So, which of the two did the will of his father? They say unto him, now these Pharisees who were rejecting his authority as Messiah, as the Son of God, they say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Wow, that's serious right there. Last several weeks, we've been talking about entering the kingdom, pressing into the kingdom, pressing toward the mark. Things that we need to do in trusting and obeying God so that we can find more joy and peace and happiness in this life. And here he says that he makes a point that they understood the situation and they answered him correctly as far as which one of those two sons did the will of God. And then he makes the point that the publicans and the harlots are going to enter the kingdom of God before you. And he's not talking about in heaven.
No.
He's talking about right now. There was something that was standing between those Pharisees and being able to enter into the kingdom of God. But he said the publicans and harlots, those who came confessing their sins, those who came acknowledging that they've done wrong and they wanted to look to the Lord and ask for his guidance and his blessing upon them from here on out. And those are the kinds of people that are pressing into the kingdom. Those are the kinds of people that are finding the joy and the peace in this life. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to be confessing our sins. We need to be acknowledging that we've done wrong. And ask God to forgive us. And if we've been blessed to understand the gospel, that we know that Jesus has come into this world and died and put away our sins. And we stand before God just, holy and righteous through Jesus. But if we want fellowship with him while we walk here in this life, while we look forward to what we'll have after this life is over, bless your hearts, there's some confessing that we need to make. There's some acknowledgement of things that we've done in our life that we might draw closer to him. You see, until we do those things, we're at a distance from him in our fellowship, in our heart and mind, in our conscience. But bless your hearts, confessing those things clears, it purges, let's use the Bible word, it purges our conscience. And allows us to feel that closeness with the Lord once again. So that we can take up our cross and follow him. And press into the kingdom. And press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Those things are what we need to do to find ourselves walking in the fear of the Lord. And close to him and finding that joy and peace in life. Now I'm running out of time here. I got to hurry on. Jesus wasn't finished with lessons for these Pharisees here who were rejecting his authority. All right? He said, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Hear another parable. He says in verse 33, there was a certain householder. Now listen to this parable and see if you understand yourself what he's referring to. All right? Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it around about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. My goodness. Sounds like that vineyard was well prepared. Everything that it needed. And what's the husband, what is his desire from doing all of this? Why would he plant a vineyard? Why would he dig about it? Why would he trim the hedge? Why would he make all those provisions for this vineyard? So it could just go to waste? so that it could be neglected? Or do you suppose that he's desiring to receive some fruit from it? Something in return for all that he has done for it. Some sweetness. Some joy. Yeah. But he did all of this, and then he put it in the hands of someone else while he went on a long journey. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. Well, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? He's done all this for this vineyard, and it's time for the fruit to be born. And so he sends those to go get the fruit. I don't see anything unreasonable about that, do you? I mean, they should have given him the fruit. They should have taken it back to the owner of the vineyard. And there could have been joy with everybody involved. And the husbandman took his servants, these people who had been placed in charge of the vineyard. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Well, they were just servants. They were just servants of the Lord, telling these husbandmen the will of the Father. And look how they were treated. And again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. My goodness. It's his vineyard. He's provided all of this for it. And when he sends somebody to get the fruit, they're beaten, they're stoned, they're killed. But last of all, he sent them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." Are you starting to get the picture here? What God has done for his people, what he has provided for us, what he has blessed us with, and all he wants is the fruits from the vineyard. And look how despitefully the servants were treated. "They will reverence my son." But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, talking about the Lord of the vineyard, when the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? What should he do to those who had killed his servants? What should he do? What should the Lord of this vineyard do? Well, the Pharisees said this. They say to him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season." You know, I agree with that. I think they got it right. Those men who were husbandmen should have rendered those fruits unto the Lord of the vineyard, and yet every time the Lord of the vineyard sent a servant down there to get the fruit, they were mistreated, they were stoned, they were slain. And even the Pharisees said, "He will miserably destroy them and give his vineyard to someone else who will render the fruits in their season." Boy, they got it exactly right. Didn't they? Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That stone that was laid in Zion for a foundation was a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And they that believe it shall not make haste. That's what Isaiah said. That's what God's done for us. These who have rejected God's authority and decided that they could make their own rules, they could make their own laws, they could live their own way. Bless your hearts. We find that a day of reckoning has come. And so Jesus said unto them, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to it, taken from you. Did you catch that? He's now making application, since they pronounced judgment, he's now applying the scriptures to their own situation. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Didn't they say these miserable men ought to be destroyed and the vineyard taken and given to someone else that will render the fruits in their season? So he says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. In very broad terms, what he's talking about there is taking it from the Jews who had the kingdom of God in a geographical sense and according to the law, and given to believers, whether they're Jew or Gentile. The kingdom is taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, and but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. The idea of that stone falling on them, or I'm sorry, them falling on the stone, when we humble ourselves before God, we come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, we realize that we've done wrong, and we confess our sins. There's help for us. But those who continue to reject God's authority, it speaks of how it will grind them to powder. Bless your hearts, when we think about the judgment of God, it's not that they'll cease to exist, but God's judgment will be upon them and their punishment will be forever. Oh, as we think about rejecting the authority of Christ, rejecting the authority of God upon us in this life. He goes on to say, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived. In other words, like Mark said, they knew it. They knew that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. And if you'll read Luke's account of this, he goes on a little bit farther after this. And it says, from that time, they watched him. They looked for an opportunity to accuse him. Because they knew that when he taught that lesson there, he was talking to them. And that kingdom was going to be taken from them and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, let me just wrap this up real quickly. That's what the Lord told the Pharisees for their rejection of God and his word. Those Pharisees were not trusting and obeying. They rejected God's authority and chose not to obey his word. And you see what the judgment was upon them. Their kingdom was taken from them. It was God's kingdom anyway. The kingdom was taken from them and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. We're not talking about the Greeks, the Romans, the whatever. We're not talking about that kind of a nation. That word nation has reference to those of a common birth. And what we're talking about are those who are born of the Spirit, born into the family of God, those who are God's people, who have the Spirit, who have a hearing ear and an understanding heart, and can see and understand what the Word of God calls upon us to do. And bless your hearts, if we love God and want to serve Him in faithfulness, bless your hearts, then we're to hear His Word, trust, and obey, right? All right, we see what happened with the Jews, the Pharisees, the Jews, so forth. What about us today? You know, it's easy for us to look down our nose at those folks that rejected God and say, they got what was coming to them. But what about us? Whatever this word says, that's what we're to do. That's the way we should go. And why? Because God said so. He's got the authority. He has the wisdom. He has the love. He has the understanding. He has told us what is best for us. And bless your hearts, if we serve Him out of love and gratitude for all that He's done for us. Bless your hearts, you could look at the church today and see how it's like a vineyard. How the sweet fruits are there. You know, Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and ye are the branches. And that fruit is born out on the branches. By the way, it's also new growth. If we're not growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we may not be very fruitful. Oh, may God help us to be fruitful. And may we render those fruits to our God who loved us, who gave Himself for us by sending His Son to this world to save us from our sins. May we know what this word says, and may we follow it for His glory and for our blessing. May God bless you, is our prayer.